What the Clippers proved last night. What the Nets showed last night. What Steph was thinking last night. What Harden's thinking. On today's Tournament of Champions, there they are, the four biggest winners of the Around the Horn 2020 season. And here they are. Champ, 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 champ. Everyone gets senior champion.
All right.
Welcome, champs. Top four from the worst year ever.
Outrageous. Rockets, Thunder tonight? Question mark? Houston without Ben McLemore, positive COVID test, self-isolating. Kenyon Martin Jr., positive COVID test, self-isolating. John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins sent home today for contact tracing and proximity to Martin. Reported to be in a room where all three got a haircut. Cousins also questionable with an ankle injury. James Harden, the NBA looking into Mr. Harden. This video of him maskless, some called it a strip club. Harden denied that, said it was an event for a friend. If it broke COVID protocol, he'll be out tonight. NBA, opening night, part two. Sarah, here you are, my Rocket Queen. What are you doing with this information?
If it didn't break COVID protocol, then the NBA is in even worse trouble than I already think they are, because we got an indoor sport as the cases are rising, with no masks, with no helmets, with small rosters. Like, this was already going to be so impossible. But if we haven't even got to one game and we already see players out indoors, no masks, hundreds of people, I don't know what we're doing here. And listen, if your argument is that James Harden wants so badly out of Houston that he's going to keep acting up in order to make sure they do it, not only is he affecting their leverage and ability to trade him, as the offers for him will go down the more he acts up and the less available he is also doing so while putting everyone around him at danger. His family, his friends, his teammates, his coaches, his opponents, this league. I have absolutely no sympathy for him. Accountability matters, and I don't care whether you think the Rockets have handled this right. Going out in the middle of a virus that killed 2,000 people on Monday alone and doing this is unforgivable. There is no excuse for this. We're so sick of hearing these numbers that we forget how big they are. I don't get it, Tony, and I don't know if this sport is going to work with this, with no bubble, but it's certainly not going to work if people are acting like he is and like whoever else is already testing positive before they've even played a game.
Thank you for your thoughts, Sarah Spain. Clinton Yates, I'll bring you in here on the position the Houston Rockets find themselves tonight. Game one of the NBA season without a bubble.
The Houston Rockets are in the position of having made your bed and now sleeping in it. This is exactly why I said playing Harden and having him around the team was a bad idea, because the worst case scenario was going to be something blows up in your face that you can't handle, and that's exactly where we are in terms of what they're going to be able to do in terms of moving him. As for the COVID situation, that's an extremely unfortunate scenario that, again, I look at the Rockets and I say, what is happening in terms of what happened in your front office from an organization standpoint? Guys are getting haircuts in the same room. That should be something that I would think, if I'm on a team, I'm handling as part of simply how I deal with my players overall. And it's unfortunate, because I think a lot of people want to conflate the concerns about what Harden is as a person with what happens on the court. And if I'm a fan of the Rockets, I don't care if Harden gets his kicks at the local library, never mind some gentleman's club. What I care about is whether or not they can put a team on the court. And they can't right now. And it doesn't really matter why, in my opinion. It's unfortunate that this is how we have to educate ourselves about a pandemic. But when you're protocol guide is over 150 pages, some things seem like a little bit more common sense, and the Rockets don't seem to be applying very much of that right now.
Sarah's shaking her head no. This is the tournament champions. Come on back in, Sarah, please.
I just want to say, did Clinton hold a single human being accountable there, or did he just keep blaming the Rockets for the decisions being
yes,
made the by
the human beings who run the Rockets front office are accountable for what they do
and none of
in
the
terms
players,
of the players that go on the court.
None of the players getting the haircuts and going to the club. None of those people are responsible. After 9 months of being told what we can and can't do, it's on the team only?
Clinton, respond.
No, it's not about only. The team is part of the entire operation. The players are only one part. The people who ultimately write the checks are the people who should be held most responsible in this position, and that's what I think. If I was a fan of the team, that's what I think. I'm not, and I look upon it and I say, yo, it doesn't matter why these dudes aren't here. You can't field a team. You're paid to do that, and they can't.
Now Frank Isola here on the position the Rockets find themselves in. This is opening night of the NBA season.
Yeah, I guess we know why Sarah Spain made it to the tournament final. Wow, that was something else. Here's the thing about the Houston Rockets. When I hear Adam Silver say, we're not going to jump the line for the vaccine, I start thinking, you know what? He might want to revise that. Maybe he's ready to do that now. Both situations, from what we know, are unrelated. The Harden situation, it's ridiculous. The league needs to step in at some point. He's sabotaging not only the season, but he's also sabotaging his trade value, which is going to hurt the Houston Rockets. As for the rest of the teammates, get ready, folks. We saw this in college basketball. We've seen it in the NFL, baseball. Every team in the NBA is going to have a situation like this throughout the season until the players wise up.
You said the league needs to step in on Harden. You saying a suspension here for conduct outside the court?
Because, come on, Tony, when he was supposed to be at training camp, he was photographed at a place in Atlanta kind of doing the same thing. They kind of let that one go. This is the second time on the eve of the season. This is a star player in the league, and he's basically just taunting the league and the Houston Rockets.
To be clear, Harden's response was this was not a strip club. This was a club. He was there for a friend, an event for a friend. Israel Gutierrez, now you.
Yeah, I see this as two separate situations. The first with the COVID players and those who have to sit out. Yep. This is almost fortunate for the league that it's happening early, right? And this is what happened with a lot of the other leagues that were outside of a bubble. You go through the scare early, you sort of tweak whatever it is you have to tweak, really impress upon your players how important it is to stick to the guidelines, and then you hope that you don't have any further scares as the season goes along. When it comes to James Harden, it appears that he is trying to, what did the Rockets say? They're reportedly say they're okay making things uncomfortable. It appears he is trying to make them more uncomfortable. It appears, anyway, that he is using a pandemic as leverage on his side. Said, hey, I don't want to do what you guys are asking me to do. I'm just going to go over here and be me and force you to trade me, which in actuality is going to keep him there longer because he has no leverage in that scenario, or the Rockets don't.
Clint
so
Yates,
Harden definitely needs to get his thing together.
Thank you, Israel. Clint, you seem to be not, you're shaking your head while Israel's talking. What are you thinking right now?
James Harden likes three things: going to the rack, going to the free throw line, and going to hang out with his friends. If I'm running an operation, that dude in a pandemic doesn't get anywhere near anybody I think I need to make my systems go. That's my point here. And whether or not it's some trade value because of you're concerned about his ego, or whether or not it's because of the health factor of COVID, whatever the case may be, doesn't seem like...
Does anybody think Adam Silver right now is rethinking his decision to proceed with this season in arenas and not trying a bubble again? Clinton, yes. Frank, do you think...
I do, and I think that maybe it was something that you moved closer to probably something that was more regionalized so that you could at least get people in the same place so that they could do things like socialize together and not put each other at risk and therefore, you know, help whatever their mindset is to play. But right now, this situation, people going all over the place, it's just not going to work.
Frank, what did you hear about the considerations of a bubble year two?
Well, remember, the players are really against that. If you want to get back to me a month from now, I think that they realize that this could happen. The issue that the NBA has, unlike football, you don't have over 50 guys on your roster. So you take out four guys off of a team, it has a huge impact.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts on this. We're going to get to last night now because, you know, nobody does it like the Lakers do it. And the Lakers did it great last night with the ring ceremony. I was going to call all your family to come in and help you get your Tournament of Champions button that we give out. But after that, the Clippers, who, by the way, didn't get a ring. They got PlayStation 5 from their owner. They channeled all that because they came out and had what's going to need to be the first of many make-up-for-last-year performances. And it was Paul George, of course. 10 of 12, 4 three-pointers, 26 in the second half. And Tyronn Lue called him, anyone? Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Well, Clinton, what the Clippers showed you in game one. Go ahead, champ.
The Clippers showed me that the wheels have not entirely fallen off of this wagon. I mean, their offseason was as tumultuous as anybody's in terms of everything that came out about how they run their ship, in terms of the disappointment in the playoffs. And on top of that, they changed coaches. So for me, for them to have to watch that ceremony from the guys right across the hall after they lost the guy, you know, to the team right across the hall, and come out and actually get a win, and Paul George be that confident, as far as I'm concerned, that is an A effort from the Los Angeles Clippers on a night like
that. Frank Isola, was it one effort or is it big? But could it be something more?
Well, remember that last year they were up 3-1 on Denver. They had a double-digit lead in the second half of all those games. So while they blew those leads, they were in position to make the conference finals. They still should be the second-best team in the Western Conference. And Paul George, it was important for him to play like that. The last time we saw him, he hit the side of the backboard on a wide-open jumper in the bubble. To go 13 of 18 and get that huge contract, he needed a performance.
Israel
like
Gutierrez.
You know what's starting to bother me about the Clippers is that it's becoming all about Paul George. This is Kawhi Leonard's team. This is a Michael Jordan, yeah. Scottie Pippen situation coming into their partnership, yep, the right. entire time. But now all of a sudden, because Paul struggles in the bubble and then he gets the max extension and people think less of him, now all of a sudden it's all on him. No, Kawhi Leonard needs to play like he is in the conversation for the best player in the league. Why? Because he was when he won the championship. And so you want to regain that title, come back for it and play like that guy again. And Paul George won't have to be that good. Some people think he can be that good. They can't think he can be all NBA first, second team still, but he doesn't have to be when you're playing next to Kawhi Leonard. So I want that conversation to kind of.
How did you start that answer, Israel? You know what bothers me? You know what annoys me? Can you stand up for a second? How could anything bother you and annoy you when you're wearing a sweater that, look at that, that is a Christmas sweater right there from Israel Kadir.
Lovely.
And Sarah Spain, also with an incredible wardrobe choice today.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
yes.
I would like to thank Izzy for honoring Festivus by airing his grievances today on December 23rd. Very well timed, Izzy. Usually when we analyze the NBA, we say it's one game, and especially when we analyze the Clippers, we say it's the regular season, and we can't know anything about them until they prove it in the playoffs. But they were one of two teams in the league that needed to have their first game mean more, and that's them and the Nets, who we also saw last night, because we needed to see them come out strong, and we needed to see them blow the lead like they did, and instead of falling apart, put their foot on the gas, and still get the W, something that they didn't do down the stretch last year. To Frank's point, obviously, Paul George needed to have a good performance. They needed to prove under a new coach, this is a new year, and we're changing things.
Is it possible, Frank, let me ask you this point blank, in Israel, because Clinton and Sarah got enough time earlier in the show. Is it possible this team, the Clippers, are better suited to play the Lakers than some of the other teams they met last year in the postseason? This is a matchup they like. Israel, are you buying into that?
I definitely think, I mean, if you just look at the wings and guarding LeBron, I think that's a benefit for them, and they do have some size to deal with Anthony Davis.
Frank?
The Lakers are the world champions. The Clippers are the Staples Center's champion. They seem to always beat the Lakers. The problem was they didn't play them in the playoff list.
All right, so we got Israel's sweater, and we got Sarah's sweater. Frank, what are we looking at here? Get off my lawn. Very Isola brand. And Mr. Clinton Yates, you've got a whole bag of goodies here.
Oh, I found it, finally.
But that's Star Wars. I'm looking at Star Wars right here, right? Yeah, of course.
Yes, of course.
Happy holidays.
Back with Buy or Sell in the Tournament of Champions.
Around the Horn is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
As far as first impressions go, can you have a better one than the Brooklyn Nets did last night? You wondered if Durant would come back as smooth, and maybe you forgot just how dominant Kyrie could be. Uncle Drew handles McHandles a lot. World be flat. Steve Kerr gave the highest praise, said he coached a team like this for 5 years. Could that be true of this Nets team? Champ, this is your cat. You cover them. What did the Nets show you last night?
Well, you said it. That was a complete walkover. They led by 38 points in this game. They were up 20 at the end of one quarter. It's about one guy, Kevin Durant. He hadn't played since June 10th of 2019, and if he's going to play like that, and Kyrie Irving's going to play the way that he did, and remember about the Nets. They were a playoff team last year. They had good role players. Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, maybe the most underrated player in the league. They will be a tough...
But is it really about one guy? I mean, are you giving Kyrie Irving enough there, champ? Go ahead, Israel, champ, please.
I mean, he said it's about one guy, and then he listed like five guys. Look, right. what I see in this team is a bunch of guys who can get their own shot, and we talk about this often in the playoffs. It's, hey, do you have the guys that can create either for themselves or for somebody else when the defense is really focused on you? They have multiple here with Dinwiddie, LeVert, obviously Durant, and Irving. And what I love about Steve Nash is he's going to basically simplify the game to a point where those guys get to their spots and take the shots that they're comfortable with. It's that simple. He's not going to overthink it.
And, champ, what did the Nets show you last night?
Yeah, I've already heard people saying they're running away with the East. They've forgotten about the Bucks already. I'm not going to go there just yet, but I do think this was my other team that needed to have a great first night, because if the basketball is great, the media, the fans, the players on that team, everyone cares a whole lot less about what's getting said on a podcast or who thinks the earth is flat. And so it's really important for them to start strong, more so than other teams, because there have been so many questions about whether it's going to work. And because if they start great, they don't get tempted to add Harden to the mix, which I do not think is the right move for this team.
Yeah, it appears you're not a big fan of James Harden. And Chip, how about you?
I think the Nets show that they are going to be a problem. And one of the things that Frank talked about in terms of all these different guys that they have, remember last year when Kyrie said they need X, Y, Z, A, B? That's not a throw, but they got that now, okay? And they're pretty daggone good. And more importantly, Kyrie, champion, since we're talking about champions. Kevin Durant, champion. That's a factor on a team like this when it comes to leadership, yo. This team is good.
Real quick, champ, you can come back in.
You know, Izzy's got Tyler Hero on the brain, because when you look at the Nets roster, they have two finals MVPs and one regular season MVP on the team. Guess who it is? Kevin Durant. It's about him. That's who it's about.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Steph's look on the bench last night, anyone? There's something there, right? What do you think he's thinking? Could it possibly be that this is another lost year in his prime, champ?
I mean, it's possible he's got a headache from that haircut. Look, I don't think it's going to be that sad for the Warriors. I think he brings joy to the team. I think James Wiseman, just watching him grow, and he had the most points for a Warriors rookie since Saronis Marshallonis. And anytime you invoke the name Marshallonis, you should smile. Mm-hmm.
Champ?
Yeah, except for the fact that those points were wasted when the rest of the team didn't show up. It was mostly just him and Curry, and I think he's thinking to himself, one game will be over tonight, but this meme is going to last all season long, and I don't really want to have to deal with that.
Dan, what do you think Curry's thinking right now?
My homies call this the Kevin Federline cornrow setup, but I think overall he realizes that, you know what, this is not going to be what you people think it's going to be. With no Klay Thompson, this team just isn't as good, and that's the look on his face.
That's incredible from Champ. And Champ, how about Curry last night?
Hey, he realized he's going to go through another whole season without Klay Thompson. And he realized on Christmas Day, I'm not going to be with that beautiful family of mine. I'm going to be in Milwaukee playing a basketball game against a team that's a lot better.
Oh, come
than
on. Wow. Man, just because the man lives in Montclair, you don't get to throw shade at Milwaukee. Speaking of, happy holidays for his career, Drew Holiday, 16-6-4, 35 from three, one All-Star, All-NBA first team defense, and second team defense once or twice. He's the big acquisition. They couldn't lag Bogdanovich. Giannis Supermax. What will it add up to this year for Milwaukee? They ran into the wall last year. Same could be true said for Boston. Champ, what do you buy, what do you sell from this opening night match of Milwaukee-Boston?
I'm buying that this is one of the most exciting teams to get a look at, because they're only returning 50% of the minutes from their roster last year. There was a massive turnover, and now that we've seen the Nets, and we're already scared after one game, the pressure is way more so on the Bucks than even last year.
Are they better this year, though, champ? Please, champ, answer the question. Champ.
Yes, they're better.
What do you buy?
The Bucks are better, but the question here for me is about the Celtics. After all these years of top picks, cap space, mid-level exceptions, it's time to answer to somebody, Ainge. This team is too talented to not be advancing as far as they are, and you got guys that are growing like 3 inches in the offseason. Let's see how
this is about Boston to you. Champ, how about you?
Yeah. Well, the Celtics keep making it to the conference finals. By the way, I love Milwaukee. I love Giannis Antetokounmpo. I like the fact that Boston has Tristan Thompson. You know what I'm concerned about? Kemba Walker's knee. That is going to be something to look closely at.
And Champ?
A problem.
Yeah, I think we're going to be bored with Milwaukee because they're going to be on path to win 70 games. And we're going to just say, wait for the playoffs. That's when we'll judge them. Boston has a chance to regress a little bit this season. Not only Kemba Walker's knee, you lose Gordon Hayward. You don't really have another playmaker in there to combine. I think they might take a step back this year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's got them going 70-2, and you mute me all the time.
Yeah, well, 70 is not going to be happening this year. That's a good call out, Frank. Not going to be happening this year, Israel. I'll give you a few more points there, champ.
Tony's like, nah.
We are the champions. Right, Clint Yates, Frank Isola, you're just not as champion as Sarah Spain and Israel Gutierrez. The last showdown of the year. Tournament of the Champions rolls on.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
We're going to end 2020 with French fries because I think everybody deserved it, right? The French fries shower, it was a penalty in the Idaho Potato Bowl because some got on the field. Sarah, you think they have regrets?
Yeah, they regret starting a trend. They're going to start doing this for every bowl, and we're going to have coagulation during the Duke's Mayo Bowl and carnage during the Armed Forces Bowl and confusion during the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Which one goes in the bucket?
Ooh, that is confusing. That is confusing. But imagine the Papa John's Bowl. I mean, that would just be wonderful. Look, I think they should have been penalized twice. I watched this video over and over again. Those fries look delicious. And they look delicious even coming out of there. They look delicious while they're on the ground. I'm pretty sure they were McDonald's fries. So I'm telling you, they should have got a 30 yard penalty.
Too dark.
For that.
They were too tan. They didn't have that golden McDonald's look. You put it all on the line there, Israel Gutierrez, and it doesn't get you through. Sarah Spain, our Tournament of Champions winner for 2020.
Well, in honor of all those who are selflessly choosing to spend their holidays alone this year to keep themselves and others safe, I want you to think about the holiday classic Home Alone, featuring none other than Catherine O'Hara, a.k.a. Moira Rose. Yourself. I'm not alone. We're all in this together, and we're making this decision, this choice together. Fire up a movie, grab some eggnog, wrap a present, and unwrap it from yourself. Whatever you need to do, I commend you if you're making that choice. And I would be remiss not to say happy holidays.
And now she belongs to the ages. Sarah Spain, our 2020 Tournament of Champions, champion of the tournament. Congratulations.
I'm clapping.
Mr. Yates, Mr. Gutierrez, Mr. Isola, thank you so much. One more thing. Yes. And I can't think of a better way to put this year to bed. We have happy news in our family. L. Duncan would have been here, but hello, welcome to the world, Xander. Look at those cheeks. Another member of the Around the Horn family. We'll see you in 2021.
Happy Hour is presented by Guinness. Drink responsibly.